You ever stop and think about how much raw compute it takes to solve a Millennium Prize math problem?
Lately, apparently enough to start a three-way fight between NYU, OpenAI, and Anthropic.
That is exactly what we are looking at today. We've got the fallout from Tristan Buckmaster's Navier Stokes announcement, which got messy faster than anyone expected. It involves allegations of stolen credit, corporate espionage, and a $1 million prize.
We also have Mistral pulling in a 3 billion euro Series D. The European AI scene is officially playing with frontier-level money now, and the investor list is fascinating.
And in the roundup, we'll look at why LibreOffice is having a sudden spike in downloads by actively rejecting AI, plus a strange Google search penalty that is quietly suffocating new independent wikis.
Should be a packed show. Let's get into it.
Let's start over in Paris. Mistral just closed a 3 billion euro Series D.
That translates to roughly 3.5 billion US dollars, and it pushes their post-money valuation past 21 billion euros.
For context, their Series C was in late 2025, and that valued them at 11.7 billion. They have nearly doubled their valuation in less than a year.
It is the largest equity financing ever completed by a European technology company. Full stop.
The lead investors here tell a specific story about where Mistral is heading. You've got Samsung Electronics co-leading, alongside the Scale Up Europe Fund, which is managed by EQT, and PSG Equity.
And the participants list is wild. The Grand Duchy of Luxembourg is in there. BlackRock, Advent, plus returning names like NVIDIA, Microsoft, ASML, and Andreessen Horowitz.
Sovereign wealth and state actors buying into an AI company?
It fits exactly what CEO Arthur Mensch has been pitching for the last year. Mistral is pushing sovereign open-weight models. They want to be the default for governments and enterprises that refuse to send their proprietary data to U.S. cloud providers.
Mensch said this new capital lets them control a compute footprint comparable to Chinese frontier labs.
That is a specific comparison to make. He didn't say U.S. frontier labs.
Right, because OpenAI and Anthropic are operating on a different financial scale altogether. But matching the Chinese labs is a realistic benchmark for Mistral right now.
He also mentioned they expect to cross $1 billion in annual recurring revenue.
They are leaning hard into full-stack enterprise integration. If you can't outspend Microsoft on raw model training, you sell the security and the self-hosted angle.
Which explains Samsung and ASML being involved. These are companies with extreme intellectual property paranoia. They need capable AI for internal workflows, but they are definitely not going to pipe their chip designs through a public API.
Exactly. If you are ASML, the machines you build are geopolitical assets. You can't risk your internal documentation leaking into a generalized training run.
The Luxembourg investment is interesting too. A European state directly funding a European AI champion.
It makes you wonder if we're moving toward geographically locked AI ecosystems. US models, Chinese models, and European models, all walled off from each other by export controls and data privacy laws.
We are already seeing it. Having a domestic champion just makes it easier for European regulators to tighten the screws on foreign tech. If Mistral is viable, the EU doesn't have to compromise on privacy just to stay competitive.
And with 3 billion euros in fresh equity, they have the runway to actually build out that sovereign infrastructure.
It also shows that the open weight strategy is monetizable. Mistral gives away the base models, but charges a premium for the enterprise deployment and the fine-tuning infrastructure.
The fact that BlackRock and Advent are jumping in now means institutional capital believes the sovereign AI thesis is a real alternative to the monolithic U.S. cloud providers.
It will be interesting to see how they spend that $3 billion. Data centers in Europe aren't cheap, and energy costs are a real bottleneck.
But if you have sovereign backers, getting permits for a gigawatt data center suddenly gets a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to something that sounds strictly academic, but is currently generating serious corporate friction.
The Navier-Stokes equations.
For anyone who hasn't taken advanced fluid dynamics recently, this is one of the 7 Clay Millennium Prize problems. Solving it carries a $1 million award.
NYU mathematician Tristan Buckmaster and Levent Alpoje just released results achieving finite-time blow-up for 3D incompressible Euler equations, along with Bucenic and incompressible porous media.
They built on a multi-scale program by Diego Cordoba and Luis Martinez Zaroa, and the critical detail here is that they used AI to assist with the proof.
Which is a huge milestone on its own, but the math is almost taking a back seat to the drama right now.
Buckmaster published a PDF statement alleging some pretty aggressive behavior from OpenAI.
According to Buckmaster, rumors of their unpublished progress started spreading in the math community. Then an OpenAI team led by Sebastian Bubeck claimed an internal model had independently proved a form of the equations.
It gets worse. Buckmaster says OpenAI proposed listing him as the sole author on their version, specifically to cut out his collaborator, Alpoje.
Because Alpoje is an Anthropic employee.
Right. And Buckmaster claims OpenAI officials actively discouraged him from going public with his original results.
Bubeck has completely rejected this. He went on record saying OpenAI did not use their prompt, their models, or their proof. He called the whole characterization false and inflammatory.
It brings up a big issue with using commercial AI for sensitive, unpublished research. If you are feeding a groundbreaking mathematical proof into a code assistant, who actually owns the output?
And how do you prove the AI lab didn't just look at your session logs, identify the breakthrough, and replicate it internally?
That is the core tension. Academic norms are built on careful collaboration and strict credit attribution. Corporate AI labs are in a flat-out sprint to claim they solved a Millennium Prize problem first.
$1 million is a rounding error to OpenAI, but the PR value of solving Navier-Stokes is astronomical. It proves the models can do novel scientific reasoning.
You have to wonder how this changes the way mathematicians work going forward. If you can't trust the AI tool with your unpublished work, you are stuck doing it by hand, while someone else might beat you to it using the exact same tool.
Or you end up in a situation like this, fighting over who prompted who, and whether the model generalized the proof or just regurgitated a leaked draft.
It is a mess, and it highlights the friction between open scientific inquiry and proprietary AI development.
Also, think about the Clay Mathematics Institute. How do they even verify a proof that was partially generated by a proprietary black box model? If the model used internal reasoning steps that aren't visible, does it count?
That is going to be a headache for the prize committee. But right now, the immediate problem is the IP dispute between the researchers and the AI labs.
It is a warning to every academic right now. If your research is valuable, assume the platform you are using to generate it is watching.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
We've got a good mix today, starting with some pushback against mandatory AI features.
LibreOffice version 26.8 dropped late last month and saw over 1 million downloads in its first week, setting a new milestone for the suite. The Document Foundation followed up with a statement titled, "Yes, No AI is Now a Feature." They are pushing an offline-first, zero-telemetry angle and promising no unauthorized data transmission. They explicitly called out commercial rivals using AI to justify price hikes and subscriptions. It is a clear shot at Microsoft, and even their open-source fork Collabra, which recently added opt-in AI features. 1 million downloads in a week shows there is a real market for software that just sits on your hard drive, edits documents, and doesn't try to auto-generate a summary of your tax returns. It is a solid reminder that not every user wants a co-pilot looking over their shoulder. Independent wiki host Weird Gloop says a Google search change from early 2024 is strangling new domains.
They are calling it Google Jail.
Since the March 2024 core update, roughly 90% of independent wikis on brand new domains only have their main page indexed. The internal pages just vanish from search results.
Game wikis get about 85% of their traffic from search. If your item guides and character pages aren't showing up, the community dies before it can even get started.
Hosts are having to launch new wikis on established subdomains first, like weirdgloop.org, then redirect them later once Google figures it out. It is a large structural advantage for legacy, ad-heavy platforms like Fandom because they already have the domain authority.
Over on GitHub, an interesting feature request for Claude Code. A user wants the main Claude chat interface to delegate tasks directly to a local Claude Code session.
The user notes they are a solo operator who doesn't read or write code, relying entirely on agents. They want to define the project scope in the web UI and have an approval card trigger the actual build locally.
It shows how non-technical users are trying to orchestrate these tools. They don't want to live in the terminal. They want a high-level management dashboard that commands the local execution environment.
It makes sense. If you are just acting as the product manager for an AI developer, you want a product management interface, not a command line.
And a quick bug report also for the Claude Desktop Apps Code tab.
The More Actions menu in the top right corner isn't rendering until a session actually exists.
It is a minor UI glitch on macOS, but it hides the files view before you start working.
Just one of those edge cases you find when you wrap a terminal environment inside a desktop Electron app. A small paper cut, but annoying if you were trying to configure things before spinning up a session.
And that is the briefing for today.
We'll be back tomorrow with more updates on the frontier.
See you then.